Hello and welcome to Bingeworthy, a podcast dedicated to telling you which of the many dozens of streaming shows that are being thrown at you each week and month are worth your time and attention. Hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo, and today I get to talk to you about a show that you've likely already heard of. But screw it, we're talking about The Mandalorian, because I got a chance to sit down with Bo-Katan herself, Katie Sackhoff. The show just finished its third season on Disney Plus, in which Mando, Grogu, and Bo-Katan go on a bit of a journey to reclaim Mandalore, and Empire hijinks ensue, as they always do. Katie is basically nerd royalty at this point, between playing Starbuck in Battlestar Galactica, Bo-Katan in The Mandalorian, and she has Longmire and In Another Life and Riddick and all a bunch of projects that you likely recognize her from. She's super fun to talk to, super sweet. She was even willing to indulge my Halloween resurrection questions, so obviously we go deeper than just The Mandalorian in our conversation, but there's a lot of Star Wars talk, so don't worry, Star Wars fans, we went there. We even discussed if she's in the upcoming Ahsoka, some other projects that are upcoming. But before we get to my chat with Katie Sackhoff, I've got to tell you that Bingeworthy is a part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes the Playlist Podcast, The Discourse, Templo Talk, Amayan's Podcast, Deep Focus, and more. We can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Follow, like, subscribe, and drop us a rating or a comment on any of those, as we greatly appreciate it. Or just head on over to theplaylist.net for film and TV news, interviews, reviews, and more. As a reminder to our listeners, all episodes of The Mandalorian Season 3 are available to stream on Disney Plus, and The Making of The Mandalorian Season 3 premieres on Disney Plus on June 28th. Okay, here's my chat with the wonderful, the delightful Katie Sackhoff. Okay, so wonderful to speak with you. Thanks for working around schedules and all that. I have three kids that have been really throwing a wrench in things lately.
Oh my God, don't worry about it. I have a daughter as well, so I get how that happens.
I know. But either way, longtime fan, first time caller, obviously. let's start out just by talking about the first phone call for The Mandalorian. I assume it was from Dave Filoni, because you know him. Where he asks you to kind of jump on and reprise your role of Bo-Katan, but this time in live action. This is something that's kind of almost unheard of. I mean, here and there you see people like reprise something in live action. I think Kevin Conroy did Batman at one point, but not a lot of characters have gotten to do it. So when you get that call, what's your reaction to this?
You know, the way that you explained it would have been the most realistic way that could have happened, but that's actually not how it happened. I saw Dave at Celebration in 2018 in Chicago, and at that point I had just heard of the show The Mandalorian, and I made a joke that, you know, if, you know, Bo was still alive and that she could potentially exist in this world. And that was pretty much it. And it was just, you know, as far as I was concerned, it was just me sort of like ribbing a friend and like, you know, like giving him the gears and trying to just make a joke. And a few weeks to a month or so later, I don't even remember the timing, to be honest. I got a phone call. My manager called me and said that Jon Favreau wanted to sit down with me. And so we set the meeting and I went in and it was just Jon. Dave wasn't even in the meeting. And we sat down and we were having a discussion, and it took me a good, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes to realize that my face was already on all the previs for Bo-Katan. and that's when it sort of hit me. And then that I realized that he was asking if I wanted to do this. And I was like, and he was very polite about it. He's like, you know, if this is something you would potentially be interested in doing, I don't know what your schedule is like all of these things. And I started laughing and I was like, well, you know, technically I'm not available because I was on a series at the same time. And I was like,
was this Another Life at that point?
It was. We were filming Another Life. And I said, so technically I'm not available, but, you know, it's just a guest star. So I'm actually available. It just needs to make sure that it works out in my schedule. And I would love to do it. And so that's sort of how the conversation went. And then it was just about figuring out the timing, because I was filming at the same time. And then subsequently, when I came back this last season, Another Life had already been canceled. So it wasn't, or we were on a hold. So technically, my deal with Mando was being worked out while Another Life was still, where they still held me, and they hadn't decided yet if they wanted to pick it up. But they pretty much, I think, at that point knew that they were going to cancel it. It was just a technicality. And so Netflix and Disney had to play nice and figure out my schedule, and Netflix basically had to let me go. And they knew that they weren't going to pick the show up. It was just one of those legal things where they had the right to hold me longer, and therefore they wanted to, even though they knew that they weren't going to do season three of Another Life. So it's just one of those weird lawyer things where they get on the phone and they're like, but we own her still. And they're like, yeah, but you're not going to use her. You know, it was one of those weird things. So yeah, it was all, you know, fun.
Right.
And they played nice. They played nice and they let me out. So it was good.
So in this time leading up to it, did you sit down with Dave and kind of go over Bo-Katan's journey between like Clone Wars and Rebels and Mandalorian and the whole like loss of the Darksaber and all that stuff? Like, what was important for you to know versus not knowing?
So my goal as an actor is to try and always know as much as I can know. If it has been thought out and exists in the creator's mind, I want to know it. And so Dave and I had lots of conversations about her backstory, things that we didn't even know about her from Clone Wars, you know, her life with her family, what her relationship was like with her father and Satine and her mother and all of these things. I wanted to know everything. I would say season two, I didn't know as much because, you know, my character at that point was just coming into, you know, for the two episodes. Yeah, for the two episodes. I don't think anybody knew how important Bo would be to the story moving forward. And so Dave and I had some conversations for sure. But the real, real in-depth conversations about family and the loss of the Darksaber and all of those things really came into play before season three.
Are we ever going to see that kind of stuff? Or is that just like, we're only going to hint at that stuff?
You know, I don't know. I personally would love to see that stuff, you know? But I don't know. I don't know what the plan is for Bo's story or her past or anything. I would even love to see Bo's story with me not in it. You know, Bo as a kid would be interesting as well. So I don't know. It's just it's a question of, you know, what's interesting to the powers that be moving forward and what makes sense to story as a whole, you know?
Sure. I guess there are a lot of characters that are ripe for picking at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
How would you then describe your relationship with Dave Filoni after he blatantly lied to you about Luke Skywalker appearing in season two? Has things improved at this point, or have things improved at this point?
I was going to make a joke about Dave and saying that we haven't spoken since. But no,
it's season three.
I know. You know, I think that I appreciated it. You know, I mean, I joke, but I absolutely appreciated it in the sense that, like, one of the things that Disney has done so beautifully with this show specifically is they've really safeguarded the spoilers and those things that are really important to each season. And, you know, season one, it was Grogu, and season two, it was Luke. And I think what it becomes event television again, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that I miss about TV from my childhood is, you know, you used to race home on Thursday nights or whatever night it was, because you knew that you had one chance to hit record and record your favorite show if you wanted to watch it again, or, you know, watch your favorite show. And then you talked about it the next day at school. And that is something that Disney has really, really figured out with this show, is that they've managed to surprise people. And I love that. I absolutely love that, because it's just so special. It's so special to watch something and to not know it's coming, you know?
Yeah.
So I appreciated being lied to.
I guess there are advantages to it. You don't get to spoil anything in interviews. And speaking of those spoilers, what a relief to be talking to you after season three has aired, because I would just be sitting there in the junket just going, why can't I talk about everything that I want to talk about right now?
And I know.
Season three especially is like Bo-Katan's season. This is like the book of Bo-Katan almost halfway through the series. You're just like, oh my God, this is Bo-Katan's show now. And it's really interesting. And like, she gets to reclaim Mandalore. She gets the Darksaber for a little bit there. Was that always the plan for this season, or did things kind of shift because, you know, obviously Pedro had Last of Us pop up and he tried to make both work, that kind of thing. Do you know if that was always the plan to make this Bo's season?
This was always the story was always the plan moving forward, the way that it was. John has a very clear idea of what he's doing with this show. and scripts are written far, far, far in advance. So it was never a shift, if you will. I always mm-hmm. knew that this was coming. And so it had very little to do, if anything, with conflicting schedules.
Nice. Okay. So speaking of the journey then, there's so much like import put on reclaiming the Darksaber, reestablishing Mandalore. Mm-hmm. How did it feel to read after you get the Darksaber that it gets destroyed? Definitely shook me. I was like, what?
I thought it was hysterical. You know, because it's one of those things where it's like, of course, mm-hmm. of course, the thing that we've all fixated on for so long gets destroyed. And I think that it was a beautiful metaphor for the Mandalorian people as a whole. Mm-hmm. They had fixated on this trinket, for lack of a better word, and it had destroyed their people. And they'd lost sight of what it meant to be a true leader, which was to lead for the betterment of your people as a whole. And I think that to destroy that and have the rightful people leading Mandalore is the right way to do it. They had to start over again.
Yeah. You don't need the thing. You need each other, I guess.
Of course. Absolutely. Message. Absolutely. Yeah.
But as far as like the Pedro of it all, like obviously he couldn't be there under the helmet most of the season three. No one has really said, like, are you on set every day? Are you trying to be under the helmet as much as possible?
I was at work 99% of the time.
Yeah.
At work. It's very, very, it's a very, very different thing. You know, for me, it's Bo is in and out of that helmet so much.
True.
That it's vitally important for me to be there every day and to really establish the movements and the things like that is really, really important. And so it was never a question whether or not I would be there. That being said, I have, you know, the most amazing stunt performers ever.
Of course.
Most importantly, this season, Joanna Bennett, who is there most every day as well. You know, these women help me safeguard this character. And if I'm not in the scene, I'm in another scene. Like, that's the crazy thing about this show is that there's multiple units going at the same time. So it would be physically impossible for one person to play this character. It'd be physically impossible for one person to play Mando. It's just one person can't be in two places at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. So it takes a team to create these characters. And that's, you know, and that's what we have figured out as a crew and as a team works the best.
And because of the nature of this kind of prestige TV that it is, you get to work with a lot of directors that are really heavy hitters in their own right. Do you have any favorite directors that you've worked with on this show at this point outside of like Filoni and Favreau?
They're all my favorites.
Of course they are.
They're all my favorites. You know, I love working with Bryce. I loved working with Rick this season. You know, I mean, they really are. It's you know, I am used to working with the different directors every episode because I came up in TV where you work with a different director all the time. And so I love every director for different reasons, but I have never worked with the director that I absolutely was like, this is awful in anything I've done, because it's, you know, it's, they all bring something different and they all imprint a little piece of them onto your character. And then you move on, you know,
I'm still waiting for Bryce to get her own Star Wars, either show or movie or something. I think she needs it.
Yeah. That would be cool. I mean, if there ever was a book of Bo-Katan, she would be amazing at helming that story.
Hell yes. Important question though, outside of The Mandalorian, do you have like a favorite Star Wars film or show currently that you're really, that's the top of the list?
Well, I'm excited to watch The Acolyte and Ahsoka. I'm super excited about Ahsoka.
Yeah. Do you not get to show up in Ahsoka? I assumed you would.
No, I'm not in Ahsoka. Bummer. But then again, you'd never know anyway. We have such heavy NDAs I loved Andor. I thought it was really good. Oh,
we did a whole podcast dedicated to Andor and talked to most people involved with it. Tony Gilroy, Diego Luna, all of them, Andy Serkis.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful show. Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So when, I guess you can't really say when we get to see Bo-Katan next, but okay, we've seen her reclaim Mandalore. She's kind of completed her long quest. She's at the point where she wanted to be all this time.
Yeah.
What do you want for her journey moving forward, just personally?
Well, I mean, I want her to continue to actually lead the right way. That would be nice. You know, she's got a really heavy task in front of her. You got to rebuild all of Mandalore. You've got to bring your people together again and continue to have them play nice with each other and reestablish the order of things within the government and the sort of the people of Mandalore. That's a huge task. It's a huge task, and it's not going to happen quickly. So that is, I think, where she's going to be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be an interesting political situation down there.
Yeah, you never know.
Have you gotten to at least speak with Filoni at all about his like Mandoverse event movie that he's got coming? Are you even able to say like I can react to a conversation and that kind of thing?
I'll just keep everything to myself about things that haven't happened yet.
Okay, all right. I'm taking that as I know everything and. It's going to be awesome. So now that you go to cons, because you've gone to cons for a long time now, do you still get more Starbuck fans, or are you like would it be the Boca stands? I don't know.
Right. I think it's finally like tipped into like a 60-40 Battlestar Star Wars thing.
Nice.
So yeah, it took many, many years for that to happen. And Longmire is in there too. So, you know, it depends on who comes up. A lot of times it'll be some kids with their dad, and then the dad's like, love Longmire.
I'd be the weird one being like, I love the Flash. I'm a net.
So you know what? A lot of people love the character in the Flash. I was really disappointed that I didn't get to go back and actually reprise that role. But obviously someone over there didn't like me very much. Because I did everything short of get down on bended knee. So they did not want my character back again. So I tried.
What a bummer. I'm sure everyone that was involved in the show was trying to come back as well.
Oh, I'm sure. There's so many seasons and so many characters to wrap up that I think that you've got to be really discerning in what the story is going to be moving forward, for sure.
Absolutely. I think we're coming up on 20. Is it 20 years for Battlestar Galactica since it started?
It is. Holy yeah, shit. 20 years. I know.
How does it feel to look back at, you know, 20 years later? Is that kind of a trippy experience?
It's so weird to me. That life goes so quickly that we're sitting here having a conversation about a show that I did when I was 21 and that I've been in the business for more than 25 years now. And that there are people in the world that think I'm old, but I have a 1-year-old and I still feel like I'm, you know, 25. Yep. It's so weird how fast it goes. And it's just one of those, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy to think that it's been that long and that, you know, that I still talk to so many of those people every day. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And a wonderful show to this day. I hopped on it really late, like 2013 or 2012, I think picked it up.
After we were already done.
Yeah. You guys were done. Yeah. It was one of those shows where I knew I would fall for it hard and I was.
So you avoided it?
I was trying to like not be a nerd for a little while, not embrace who I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
Like you do. You're too cool for things. And then I finally got over that. And one of the first things I watched was Battlestar, like front to back in like 2 weeks.
And amazing.
It was a wonderful experience. So thank you for that.
My husband hasn't watched it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So, and I've never seen it in its finished form. So I need to watch it as well. It'd be very interesting.
I was just looking through your YouTube videos. That would be a great thing to throw on the YouTube channel. It's been a couple of years. And as a diehard Halloween fan, watching you react to Resurrection was like an absolute joy for me. Like, I know you're not a huge Halloween person and horror movies are not really your thing, but
no, they freak me out.
Yeah. Just watching you react, I urge everyone to go check that out, because you are not like light on the movie. You're like completely like picking it apart and like picking apart your own performance. It's hilarious and wonderful. But I will ask, just because I love Halloween so much, what was that experience like for you? And had you not seen a Halloween movie at all before that?
No, I hadn't. Oh, I don't like, I mean it when I tell you, I don't like scary movies at all. My husband loves them. He like writes them, and I freaking hate them. I was 19 years old, 20. I think I was 20 when I did that movie. I remember how little I was being paid. And I remember that I would go out like every night with the cast. Like it was like, we spent a lot of money on alcohol when we were in Canada because drinking age is so much younger. And we just went out and like, I had good dinners and stuff. I did what every kid does, right? Like I went out and I spent way too much money on things thinking like,
you know, it was summer camp. It was going to last forever.
That like, it was a lot of money, not realizing that actors only take home like a fifth of their paycheck after we pay our entire team in the government. And so I called my manager and I literally said to him at the time, I said, I am losing money on this picture. And he started cracking up and crying. He's like, that is a quote that's going to go on the wall as a Katie quote, because I, you know, every once in a while there's some doozies that come out of my mouth. And, I just remember I spent everything and we had so much fun, and I'm still really good friends with Bianca Kailik.
Nice.
You know, yeah, it was fun, but no, I'd never seen a Halloween movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Outside of Resurrection now. So you've seen Resurrection, but none of the others, right?
I've seen the original. I watched the original, I think, like when, you know, right before I got the part, and I was like, this is terrifying. And I think I watched H2O because I was like in love with Josh Hartnett, which is the irony.
Who
because
wasn't?
I just did a film with him.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
Yeah.
Like it's not out yet?
It's not out yet. No, it's called Fight or Flight. It's super, super freaking awesome. And I can't wait for people to see it.
What's it about?
A lot of fighting, a lot of lighting.
sold.
Great movie though. Yeah, sold. Yeah. It's really cool. A lot of just super stupid stunts. I loved it.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. It's what's funny to me is that like right after I finished Halloween, I went and did a show with Richard Dreyfuss in New York that lasted a year. So I think I was 19. I was, or 20. And then we shot that show, and then that show got canceled. And like 6 months later, I booked Battlestar.
Man.
So I got the script for Battlestar when I was 21, and I booked the role when I was 22, and we finished the miniseries when I turned 23. It's crazy how it was a busy, like, you know, 3 years.
You've also, I think I saw a quote on this when I was doing my homework. You've been very vocal about getting to make the jump from animated character again with Poison Ivy. Have you gotten to at least float this idea to like James Gunn or anyone? What draws you
Ivy? I haven't. And like, listen, I saw Karen Gillan wants to play her too. And like, she's got a closer in than I do. So I feel like that's like a given. I feel like I have no fight. And I've got no horse in that race if Karen wants to play that character. but I God love her. You know, I can't be mad at her. She's fantastic. And I love her dearly. So I still would love to, for sure. I think that maybe I can play Poison Ivy's mom. I can just play Karen's mom again.
That's right. You did play her mom. Oh my God.
I did. Yeah. So we could just do it again and we could both play Poison Ivy, like different versions, maybe. You never
know. That's hilarious. Yeah. Okay. Before we go, is it Fight or Flight that's next, or what do we get to see you in next?
Fight or Flight would be next. Absolutely. And then some other stuff coming out. Keep an eye on that YouTube channel because we've got some really, really fantastic announcements coming.
There was some really good pandemic content that you were churning out there for a bit. I was all in.
Yeah, well, there's potentially going to be some new stuff. So like I said, just keep an eye out for that stuff.
Awesome. Okay, Katie. Well, I have truly enjoyed this. For those listening, go watch Mandalorian Season 3. It's all available on Disney Plus. Katie's absolutely killing it throughout. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Oh, and the making of Season 3 is coming out as well in June. So the making of Season 3 Mandalorian comes out in June. So get ready for that also, because that's going to be awesome.
Awesome. I'm going to stream it first day. Can't wait.
Beautiful.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Katie.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye. Bye.